Okay. Exodus 24 is where we're going to start today. We're back in our just continuous reading through the Bible just to get understanding of the scriptures. But we'll pray first, and then we'll jump right in this. Father Yahweh, we just bless you on today, and we give you the honor for who you are and all that you do and reveal to us in your word. And we just bless you for every opportunity that we have to get our understanding. And we don't take it lightly. We thank you for the insight that you give us. We praise you in the wonderful name of Yehoshua. We pray. Amen. Now, we're in Exodus 24. Like I said, we're just continuing on. Sometimes we'll detour and go into things that we need to deal with, and then if there's nothing that Yah is leading us into, then we'll go back to our regular reading through the scripture just to get understanding of precept upon precept and line upon line. There may be some things that I may address from some things that's happened here within, I guess, the past week, I guess, but it just depends on how y'all lead in that direction. But Exodus 24, we'll start at verse 1. It says, "And he said unto Moses, Come up unto Jehovah, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders, and worship ye afore all." And one of the things I want to point out here is that when you see a lot of things that's going on from a perspective of our nation, what is valid for us to understand is that Yah didn't just deal with Moses and Aaron in a lot of cases when it came down to our nation. Moses and Aaron were, you know, figureheads behind things, mainly Moses. But it's valid for us to understand, even when we look at verse 1, before Moses went to Pharaoh, the nation got on one accord. And it's valid for us to see this here. Well, it's valid for us to understand that. And even when we look at this here, a lot of people don't deal with scriptures like this in detail to show how Yah dealt with our nation now. And so I read verse 1, and then I make some comments about some things, even as far as some future events maybe is concerned, you know, as Yah lead. But I read verse 1 again, and said, "And he said unto Moses, Come up unto Jehovah, thou and Aaron, and Abihu, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afore all. And Moses alone shall come near Jehovah, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him." And Moses came and told the people all the words of Jehovah, and all the judgment. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which Jehovah has said, we will do." And when you understand this from a perspective of, especially when you start dealing with Deuteronomy 28, if you go back to chapters before this, Exodus 19, you see the same pattern whereas judgments, laws, statutes are being revealed to our nation, and our nation is agreeing, our nation is unified, and we're agreeing to do these things. And so when you look at things from a perspective of, my mind's kind of starting to go all over the place because Yah's starting to deal with me now, and I'm trying to reach and grab stuff that he's revealing to me, and at the same time I'm trying to keep from being all over the place. So I'm going to back up and say this before I say the things I'm about to say. I had a conversation with a guy last night at the health club as in workout, you know, because every time I say the club, people be like, you know, but the health club, I had a conversation with a guy, and he has some experiences or there are some things. Well, in a nutshell, he marched with Martin Luther King. And so he asked me, he said, you know what, in a nutshell, what I call a system called radical. And I was like, yeah, I do. But he went on just to tell me or to confirm what I knew just from what he was saying from the perspective of being classified as radical. He said, well, in a nutshell, I call it the system. The system identifies you as radical when you have views that go against the harmony of what's in the earth or what's set up from a systematic perspective. So since we are revealing some things according to scripture as Yah lead us to understand truth, then we'll be classified as radical. So in a nutshell, each one of you that's hearing this here can be identified as being radical, because anytime you hear truth and it goes against agendas and systems that sit up and things like that, then you can easily be classified as radical in one fashion or another. And that's what, you know, what happened with Martin Luther King and things like that, and even other people. You'd be surprised how many people are actually on a certain amount of lists and things like that. I am listened to on a daily basis through phone calls, text messages, just a lot of things that I do. I'm being monitored by systems and things like that, but that don't bother me any because I'm not afraid, you know. I don't have the spirit of fear, but I have power, love, and a sound mind. And so that stuff don't bother me. And I even let them know, just like I'm letting them know now, I don't care. It don't bother me. Can't do nothing. Can't do nothing y'all won't let them do. And so I'm not concerned. And, you know, from that perspective. So from that conversation, the individual basically ended up saying, is like, okay, what you're doing, he said, what you're doing is you're basically turning the foundation whereby which the gospel is preached upside down. And this person's not the first one to tell me that. It's like you turned it upside down, and because you turned it upside down, you're going to be classified as radical from the perspective of other preachers or whatever. It's because you turned doctrines upside down. And Yah allows you to see things and expose things that's right here in the book. It's just that people don't deal with it, or maybe can't see it to deal with. I don't know what it is, but I'm just saying it just for the sake of understanding. And so I've even had some that said, you know, what I teach knocks down the pillars of the church. You know, just knock down the pillars of, just totally crashing. And so. So you have to understand that. So as certain things I see, I'll deal with it, and then I'll bring about a understanding based upon it. Now, I said all that to say this. When you even understand what salvation is, it cannot be fully understood unless we see it through the understanding of the scriptures. Because what the church teaches is that salvation is an individual thing, and it focuses on that. And because of that, you have people that think, okay, well, you know, I'm saved and everything is okay, fine, and that is with me, and I'm just waiting to go to heaven. Well, all that's a setup. It's a setup. And so when you look at these verses, even in Exodus 24, verse 1 and 2, as I look at these verses, I'm seeing how Yah flows through a nation to reveal plans and thoughts that he have concerning mankind. And we have to understand that salvation is not complete from an individuality type of thing. We have to understand that. That's why I wanted to pull out that Yah didn't just deal with Aaron and Moses when it came down to things of his kingdom. And you can see in verse 1 and 2, as he's gathering these elders are having encounters too to a certain perspective, but he just dealt with Moses a little bit different, a little bit more hands-on. Because even when, you know, when Moses was out in the wilderness before he got ready to go into Egypt, you remember Aaron's responsibility was to get the people on one accord. So Aaron went to the elders. And so, as we read through the scriptures, we got an understanding that when Moses and Aaron went, also the elders went with them. It wasn't just Moses and Aaron like they show in the movies, or just Moses, but those elders are there, so our nation saw the leaders on one accord. Okay? And so, when you look at things from the big picture of even us today, there are things that's being done systematically to keep us divided, because once we get on one accord as a people, then that's when y'all gonna start moving for that people. Okay? And so again, as you look at these scriptures now, you'll see these things, you just see this harmony in what I just said. Now, verse 2 said, and Moses alone shall come near Jehovah, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of Jehovah, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice, one accord. This is the system's biggest kept secret. Keep them divided. Keep them divided through denominations. Keep them divided through, through color. You know, you're a little bit brighter than the other one, and so you're divided. You know, your hair a little bit different texture than the other one, so we're divided. You know, you got this certain level of income, and so we're divided. And so all these things are going on to keep us divided, but God's wanting to move to a nation that's unified. And so he has to start somewhere with that unification, and then it is designed to extend from there. That's why I've been dealing with y'all in such a manner to try to get us all on the same page here, because in order for y'all to do something through a nation, he needs to first of all get a church that's on one accord, and then from that he'll extend out, and as we continue to get on one accord, we'll see some wonderful things take place with our nation. And it don't happen because, like I've been telling people, there's a purging going on. But again, and y'all slow me down if you need to say something. You know, you hear in a conference call, you have something to say, feel free to do so. Now, verse 2 again said, Moses alone shall come near Jehovah, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of Jehovah and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice. And said all the words which Jehovah had said we will do. And Moses wrote, he just won't let me get off that verse. I'm trying to get off that verse. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is my people, not is my person. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Well, when you get people talking about their land, especially church folks, what land is he talking about? And so that makes it clear that he's not talking about the church as we know it. He's talking about a people, and he's letting us know as a people, if you get yourself together, I'll bring healing to this whole thing. I'll heal your land. I'll get you back in your land. But most folks right now think we're taking a trip to heaven for 7 years and don't realize this rapture is the gathering of the nation, putting it back in the land. That's what it is. Okay? Now, verse 3, and Moses came and told the people, I read that, verse 4, and Moses wrote all the words of Jehovah and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto Jehovah. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in a basin, and half of the blood and sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant. Y'all see this now. And he took the book of the covenant. And read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that Jehovah has said we will do and be obedient. So we're agreeing as a nation. We're saying all that he's saying we will do, and we will be obedient. verse 8 said, Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which Jehovah has made with you concerning all these words. Okay? Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw, not just Moses. They saw. See, you don't hear this just being dealt with precept upon precept. So all of them saw. Now look, it said, and they saw Yah of Israel. The elders, the leaders, they saw him as well as Moses. Now, they saw Yah of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, paved work of sapphire stone. And as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw Yah, and did eat and drink. They ate before him. See this now. They ate before him. And Jehovah said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount. Now, he dealt with them in a certain perspective in that mount, and then he called Moses from among the leaders to go to come up into the mount. Yeah. Verse 12.
Is that the same way like Jesus, you know, he dealt with the disciples and then he called James and John?
Peter, James, and John,
yeah.
And they went further up. Yeah.
Yeah,
you look at it from that perspective, and they had the encounter, what I believe was Moses and Elijah, I believe. And that's what I'm saying, y'all. Our nation, here's what you got to understand. Our nation had face-to-face encounters with Yah. We ain't running around here. I feel the spirit. That's what's wrong with us as a nation now. We run around here, have gotten caught up into the carnality of church, and we not having true encounters with Yah. Maya was talking about this series that's coming out of something. It's called Preach or something like that, where you got four evangelists, a prophetess or whatever you want to call it, and you got one woman, she runs up, and if I had it, I would have pulled it up and let you see. You got this one woman, I think it's called Preach, it's getting ready to come out on Lifetime or something like that. I get them mixed up, sometimes I call it Lifestyle. But I think it's Lifetime. Yeah, Lifetime. On Lifetime, where they got these three Israelites and one Gentile, that are calling themselves prophets, and I'm talking about they laying hands on people, and you know it's all emotion and all that, and this one woman runs up, this man has his hand up, in the preview now, she runs up and chest bumping, and he falls down out in the spirit, so they say. And I'm telling you, Yah is I'm not going to say he's fixing to, he's dealing with this kind of stuff. He's making a clear distinction of what belongs to him and what doesn't belong to him. And I'm telling you, all this foolishness that you see that's been going on in the church, y'all finna bring that stuff down. You finna bring it down, because all these things have caused his presence not to be revealed in the pure form of what our nation is experiencing in Exodus 24. We weren't running around here saying, I feel the spirit. We seeing Yah. We have encounters with Yah. Notice, when Yah first came down, he came down to our whole nation. But the nation got so scared, they told Moses, Moses, you can deal with him face to face. We don't want to see him no more. And I believe it's Mount Ararat, I believe. You can go look at that mountain today, and you can still see where it's charred, where Yah came down on that mountain. Still charred right today, where Yah came down on it. The whole top is burned. And the rest of the mountain is a different color, because it confirms what the scripture said, that he came down on that mountain where our nation was. And so you see these different things, and you see our nation having these encounters, that keeps us from operating in deception. That keeps us from being deceived. But because we didn't obey or like what our nation said, yes, all these things we will do, because we didn't continue to do it, it got us off track now. and you have us as a nation even today, all these things are going on, everybody have these theories of what's going on, but the scriptures revealing to us what's really going on behind our nation. Okay, so as you look at it here again, verse 10, and they saw Yah of Israel. They saw him. You think Yah will reveal himself to our nation back then and won't do it again if we get on the same page? Now, when I said we, I'm talking about when we as a nation, 2 Chronicles 7:14, when we start seeking Yah and quit trying to come up with our own ideas, we marching. We having riots. We tearing up our neighborhood. We doing all these things. And Yah said, I got another one coming because I still see they ain't learned nothing yet. He's going to bring us as a nation. He's going to humble us as a nation. And none of us truly going to experience salvation until we experience that salvation as a group of people. Because we got to understand, as Israel, he's not dealing with us individually. He's not. He'll deal with us to a certain extent, but what I'm talking about, what he want to do as a whole, he's not going to completely just deliver each one of us individually out of certain things. We're all experiencing a certain amount of, you know, issues that's going on in society today because our whole nation is not free. Well, Yah is saying it's going to come a day when I'm gonna raise Jeremiah 23. I'm gonna give you shepherds after my own heart. They're going to feed you. I'm going to bring you back into the land. You're not going to have any fear anymore. I'm going to remove fear. You're not going to have to be afraid. You're not going to have borders or gates or things to protect you, you know, to keep people in and, you know, from coming in or going out or whatever. You're not going to have to be concerned about those things because as a people, I'm going to deliver you myself. And so as you look at this, our nation as a whole is Yah is dealing with our nation as a whole. Now, I've been meeting with what I believe is leaders of Israel, and I've been telling them, look at here, all y'all got your little groups, you got your little camps, and you doing this over here in California, you doing this in Atlanta, you doing this in Houston, y'all doing this here in Dallas, and I'm telling you, ain't nothing happening with neither one of us until we come together just like the elders did here. We got to start coming together. You got to quit talking about your little camp, and you got your little four and no more, and you doing it this way, and if everybody don't want to line up with you, then, you know, you got your little... I told him, I said, y'all ain't dealing with us in groups. We all better humble ourselves and realize that y'all is dealing with us as a nation, and it's going to take true leaders of our nation to come together, get on one accord, to get the people on one accord. And here's the thing about it. It ain't just black folks. It ain't just black folk, y'all. That's part of the division. You got to realize Israel got multifaceted of colors. You got Latinos. You got Puerto Ricans, you got Mexicans. You study our history. Those Israelite slaves were scattered all over the world. We all over the world. We all different shades of color and things like that. So it's not a color of so-called black. That is the origin of our nation of people. But it's a bloodline thing now. And y'all are trying to get us all on one accord. Just like he had us here. And when he got us on one accord, that's when he started manifesting himself to our nation as we're reading here. And it's going to take that now. You had anything, Alan, before I move on? Okay, verse 10 again saying, they saw Yah of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, paved work of sapphire stone. It reminds me of Ezekiel. As it's describing here, Ezekiel described how Yah traveled. You know, Yah traveled in a, you know, the scripture calls it a cloud, but we got to understand some deep things going to be revealed to us in the future, and there are things where the scripture talks about the chariots of fire and the horsemen thereof. It talks about the cloud. It describes the shape of the cloud. It talks about in Ezekiel how Yah moves in the clouds and things like that. So it's been time, you know, and I'm just saying this just for the sake of dealing with that. Every time you were sitting up there looking at the weirdest clouds you ever seen before, well, guess what? Could have been the chariots of Yah. Okay? There's a reason why this system show all these movies about, like, Independence Day and all these different invasions and things like that, because they know he's coming. They know he's the alien who's coming to invade the Earth. And so they show these different movies to try to get us all prepared to fight against the alien. Well, ain't nobody going to be able to fight against him when he comes. And so as you see this here, this is how Yah is traveling, and so you're looking at it. And like I say, Ezekiel describes it in detail. He talked about the wheel in the middle of the wheel, and he talked about the angels and different things like that that move as Yah's throne, sit on his throne and moved in the cloud. And so this is what they're experiencing here. They're experiencing here. That's why it says again, and they saw Yah of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw Yah, and did eat and drink. And Jehovah said unto Moses, come up to me and to the mount. And be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandment which I have written. So who wrote the Ten Commandments, so to speak? There are more than one. The Ten is just the overall view of them in a nutshell. So again, he says, come up to me in the mount and there and be there, and I will give the tables of stone and a law and a law and commandments which I have written, and thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of Yah, and he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur and are with you. If any man have any matter to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. This is what I was talking about. And this very mount is charred to this day. Y'all ain't playing. Y'all, there are things to confirm what y'all did. I said Mount Ararat, but I'm thinking about the ark. I'm thinking about the Ark. I can't remember. I think it's Sinai. Again, it says, verse 15, Moses went up into the cloud, and a cloud covered the mount. And a cloud covered the... I'm trying to... When you see it, it says, and the cloud covered the mount, you have to understand that what we read... that what we read in verse 10 is in this cloud. So I'm saying a lot of times, y'all, when you see these weird-looking clouds, and you be like, man, what the world is that? It's huge. You don't really know what you're looking at. It may not be just a cloud. Yah travels in the clouds like that. You have to understand that. And he's sitting up in his throne. He ain't just parked in heaven all the time. Yah can do what he wants. You got to understand this thing, okay? And matter of fact, there have been reports all over the world where people are starting to see what they call unidentified flying objects. They're starting to see these clouds, so to speak. They're starting to see them, and so it's a lot of things going on with this, y'all. That we're seeing some things happen. Are being confirmed from this here. Now, verse 15 says, Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of Jehovah abode upon Mount Sinai. There is Mount Sinai. I say Ararat because they're saying that Noah's Ark has been found on it, Mount Ararat. And for some reason I was saying it, but it is Mount Sinai. Again, verse 16 says, the glory of Jehovah abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. I'm saying this. And the sight of the glory of Jehovah was like devouring fire on top of the mount. On top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Okay, and that's why I was saying that Mount Sinai is charred. Second, can you go on the internet and click images, type in Mount Sinai and click images, and you'll see that whole top of the mountain probably halfway down is charred. To confirm Yah was on there. He actually came down to that mountain. Verse 18 says, the sight of the glory of Jehovah was like devouring fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Y'all seeing this? Now he's up in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now I'm asking you a question: Who wrote the commandment? Yah wrote it. Okay, Yah wrote it. And so as you see, he's there 40 days and 40 nights. We go into the next chapter now. Exodus 25 verse 1 says, Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and badger skin, and shittim wood. Oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense. Onyx stone and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I assure thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. Two cubits and a half shall the length thereof, a cubit and a half the breadth thereof, a cubit and a half the height thereof. Now, as far as this ark is concerned, the priests of our nations have been found. They have been found in the regions of Africa. If I remember correctly, I think it's Zimbabwe, where our priests have been found. And by the way, they still got the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, can nobody else handle it? Okay, can nobody else handle it? Ain't nobody else going in there trying to steal it, because can't nobody handle it but those priests. And so there are professors from Britain who have met with these guys, and there's been DNA tests and things like that has been done. And basically, in a nutshell, this guy was saying they allowed him to see it. He said they call it the Togoma. He said, but it's the but he was saying so many words, it's the Ark of the Covenant. So our priest still got it. And I think it's Zimbabwe where they are. So all the priests are there. They haven't stopped doing all the things according to what we're about to read here. They still do it to this day, confirming the scripture that said it would be a remnant of us left in the land that would still carry on the law, statutes, and the judgments of Yah. There's some in our nation, they still do it. It's just that we over here have lost our heritage, you know, fulfilling that portion of the prophecy that said we would forget who we are, who we are as a nation of people, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now we're starting to wake up to realize who we are. That's why you don't hear this kind of stuff being discussed, because it has to be Israelites who are awakened to be able to teach it. And I had mentioned Sunday, so I'm going to say it now, and then I'll repeat it again Sunday. You remember when I had mentioned about Simon the Canaanite? Simon the Canaanite, there are other scriptures that I believe that talk about him as a zealot. I think it's Z-A-L-O-T. That's found in Acts, also found in, I believe, Luke, confirming that Simon was also an Israelite. So you did have 12 Israelites who was preaching the gospel. And so when you look at the whole Bible itself, as I've mentioned on a lot of times, the whole Bible itself is written by Israelites. So when you look at that from that perspective, it's Isaiah, Jeremiah, all these guys who wrote certain things in the scripture, all your gospels and all this, the Old and the New Testament, they are written by Israelites. So if it's written by Israelites, Yah is waking up Israelites to bring about the precept upon precept and line upon line. He's not letting Gentiles see this. He's not letting them see it because he started in the same way, he's beginning to do this thing the same way he did it with us as a nation. That's why you have Gentile nations thinking those people who are in the land are the Israelites of the Bible. In reality, we are. So it took Israelites to wake up to come and say, yes, this is who we are. And then Yah gave us the ability to bag up the words, bag up our claim with the scriptures now. And so as you're seeing this, he's describing things that we should do. Verse 11, he says, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within and without, shalt thou overlay it and shall make upon a crown gold, a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast four wings of gold for it, and put them in the four corners thereof. And rings. And two rings shall be in one side of it, and two rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, and thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark. The ark may be born with them, The staves shall be in the rings of the ark and shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. So as you look at it, the commandments of Yah are in that ark of the covenant. Okay? And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work, shall thou make them in the two ends of the mercy seat, and make 1 cherub on the one end and the other cherub on the other end. Even the mercy seat shall make the cherubim on the two ends thereof. The cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat. Shall the faces of the cherubim be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I give thee. I wanted to say something about these cherubim, but it may not be in this chapter, so I just say it now to keep us from operating in deception. Now, let me go back up. Verse 22 said, and I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, and all which I give thee in commandments unto the children of Israel. Or went too far down. Verse 20 said, and the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubim be. Well, let me just deal with this from this perspective, and I'll go ahead and stop. I want to give you an understanding as far as the cherubims are concerned, because there are scriptures. I thought it may be somewhere in here. It may be, It's just that I may not have gotten down far enough or over in the other chapters. To keep you from operating in deception or being deceived. You get people who say that they've seen angels, and they have described the angels from a perspective of their wings. And I've even made some corrections, or have attempted to make. Well, I could do. I have made some corrections on Facebook, but then you have some people bent on seeing things their way. Okay. There's this one video that you see on Facebook. There are two angels, or supposed angels, flying in the air, and you can see their wings flapping and everything. And it amazed me, because there are some preachers that I thought was pretty sound in understanding the scripture, was going on there saying amen, praise God, and all this here. Like, wow. And so other people, you know, I've watched them get there to make their comments about the angels and how they had encounters with angels, and how they described how the two wings were stretched out and real pretty and stuff like that. And I was like, according to the Bible, all angels who have wings don't have just two. According to scripture, every angel has six wings. They have two which they fly. They have two that cover their feet. And they have two that I think cover their face. I can't remember. The two cover up top, two covered down, and the two is flying, and they don't necessarily, according to scripture, flap like a bird, but they move differently than what is something that of the norm that would have wings. And so I was telling these people, okay, you're saying you're having encounters with angels, and you're seeing this two-winged being, and you're describing what it looked, but I'm telling you, according to scripture, you're not looking at you're not looking at an angel. If you're seeing an angel with wings and you only see two, there are angels who appeared as men, but all the ones that the scripture talks about, where it identifies the one with the wings, the cherubim, there are six of them. Now, and as far as the Ark of the Covenant, the one that we're reading about now, that's why I wanted to address it, you'll see only two. And so because
it doesn't specify, it just says that two wings would be pointed forward, but it don't say that it didn't have six wings. It just says that the two would be covering them.
Right. And so there, but other passages, and I'm trying to remember where they are. Other passages talk about the two wings of the cherubim covering the mercy seat. But like you said, it could be more than one. But they specifically identify. Yes. Yeah, it specifically identify. But I just want y'all to understand, so you don't walk away being deceived. So if you ever see an angel that's flapping around here with two wings, you just say, that ain't it. That ain't it, because deception is running rapid, y'all, and we have to look at the scripture and get an understanding of the scripture so that we don't walk in deception. What is another deception from the perspective of the cross that we expose?
It's not a T-shape.
It's not a T-shape. So when you see these T-shaped crosses all over these churches, that is what Deuteronomy 28 talks about when he said we'll be worshiping both wood and stone. People worship we worship the cross. We wear them around our neck, we do all these different things, but when you go read the scripture, and it does say cross, but when you look at the meaning of a cross, it's a pole. It was a snake. So Jesus didn't die with his hand stretched out in a T-shape like the tradition said. He had his hand over his head. He was nailed to a cross. He was nailed to a stake, a pole. And so when you run the history of that, you find out that the Catholic Church had something to do with that. So they said, let's make it into a T-shape because it looks better. It's more appealing to look to show Christ hanging on that cross, it looks more appropriate, but to actually show him like he was, with his hands over his head, nailed to the cross. What you saying?
Well, this is one of those symbols that were used by other religions and other stuff before, and so they did that kind of stuff to incorporate other people into Christianity.
That's a very valid point. And so that's where you have the cross. They would take, you know, the cross, Christmas, Easter, all these holidays that's incorporated. In other words, you have paganism that's incorporated into somewhat the kingdom, so to speak, or Christianity. Paganism is associated with it. So Aaron is right that the cross was a symbol that was used to get people into the church, so to speak. They would appeal to that, so they would say, okay, you can bring the Easter bunny in, you can bring the egg in, because we just trying to get you in Jesus. And they would take the Christmas tree and say, okay, you can decorate the tree with the scripture telling us about as a nation. Say, we did it as a nation. Call it idol worship. So you adorn the tree, and you prop it up, and you knit it up. It's the same thing, and you put gifts under it. Our nation's still doing it today. And so all these paganism type of things we're still doing, and we've attached religion to our history, and so our history has been hijacked and turned to a religion. So you got now the nation of Israel, or sons of the nation, who y'all is waking up saying, I'm coming back repairing, I'm sending y'all back to repair the breach about y'all's history. It ain't a religion. This is our history. Okay, so I wanted you to understand that. And so anytime anybody starts talking about angels from now on, and they start talking about, now remember, there are angels that appeared as men. That is true. But anytime you start talking about people talking about they saw angels with two wings, and they say, well, no, according to scripture, they had six. And I know how people play with it, because I had some of them to do me like that. They said, well, since the Bible doesn't say that they didn't appear, you know, since the Bible doesn't say that they didn't have two, then maybe some of them showed up as two. Well, the scripture said they showed up looking like this and they looking like that. Now, you can add all that other stuff in there you want to. I'm just not doing it. All right? And so I wanted to point that out as we deal with these cherubim. So, and so you get people that say there are different classes of angels and things like that. Well, you look at the ones with the wings, according to scripture, they have six, not two. So anytime you see a video, these statues and different things like that showing these angels, that's paganism. That's paganism. And so, you know, it's vital for us to understand it so we don't walk in deception. So when these things start happening, because, you know, I just at this point believe that the Antichrist, as we know, or at least the false prophet, I believe we're going to be thinking that it's Jesus Christ returned, because people don't know how he really looks. They don't know he's an Israelite or a so-called black man, so when he show up, they're going to think he's come back to straighten all this out, and there's going to be a lot of deception going on because people don't know the truth. Okay. But I'm going to stop right here. If there's no other questions or comments, and like I said, you know, on some nights, unless y'all lead us to do something else, you know, we just read through the scriptures to get an understanding of some things. Okay? Now, I want to remind you of something before I dismiss you. Y'all heard about things, stuff that happened in Gong?
Yes.
Okay. Have you heard about who were making claims to be responsible for that? Yeah, so it confirms some things that I have been telling you guys about. Yeah, said basically, the guy told me they were already here. He was like, can you help me warn America? And so he was saying it was already here. And so all intent purposes, these guys intended to go in there and do a lot more damage than what they did. It's just that, you know, the Garland authorities was on top of their game and had that stuff blocked off. And when those guys pulled up to try to go do what they do, they were stopped by security, and that's when they saw them armed. So they just jumped out and started shooting right there. They had planned on going in that place, killing hundreds of people.
That would have been
right?
No, I don't.
And you have to understand
who these people are. When you continue to run their history back, who these Muslims and stuff are, they're the sons of Ishmael. That's Ishmael boys. And so you have to realize what's going on. So in a nutshell, as we get ready to close, you're looking at what's coming to head of brothers class. You have Jacob and Isaac and Ishmael's descendants getting ready to collide. Then on another perspective, you have Jacob and Esau's descendants getting ready to collide. So this is family affairs. So people trying to figure out what's going on, it's brethren that's starting to come to the head and really, you know, that's what's really going on now. So I just want to kind of, you know, remind you, we were already prepared for it. We already knew it was coming down just based upon understanding the scripture, because Revelation 20 and 14, we're talking about the saints being beheaded. The saints is Israel. Don't get it twisted, y'all. I'm going to take you a song. I'm trying to close, but y'all won't let me. I'm going to take you a song, and then I'm through. I'm going to show you who the, you know. So anytime, we know this, but I just want to remind you this. Anytime you hear any word, you have to hear Israel first, or you miss the point. So anytime you hear saints, you can't say that's the church first, because when you say it's the church first, you're missing the point, because Romans 11 tells the whole story, and it points out that, in a nutshell, the church is engrafted into Israel. That's why the church starts to say, that's why the scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's Abraham's seed. So if any man be in Christ, he's Israel. So any man who believes in Jesus becomes Israel. Israel's not getting in the church. The church is getting in Israel. So every time you read the word saints, you understand Israel first. You have to understand that. So it's not going to be just per se the Christians that they come after. They're coming after Israel first, and all those who have an understanding of what the true kingdom is. And so you can find it in Psalms, but I'm going to just show you. It's Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. And then it also says, all the Psalms, you have to understand, all the Psalms, Proverbs is written to Israel. Okay, it's written to Israel. And so I'm just going to read you just from Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. And he said, Jehovah came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints that his right hand from his right hand went a fiery law for them. So when you look at it, I'm gonna just go there. So when you look at it from that perspective. I'm going to go back up to verse 1, and I just want to show you here. I'm showing you who Israel is. I'm showing you who the saints are. Deuteronomy 33, verse 1, I went to verse 2. It said, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of Yah, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, Jehovah came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 saints, from his right hand went a fiery law for them. And so as you see him, he's talking about the saints, but as you continue to run the scripture references, and he's talking about the saints, and you get over in the Psalms, before he even gets over into the New Testament, your Psalm is written to Israel. So Psalm 16, verse 3 says, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Psalm 34 says, sing unto Jehovah, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalm 31:23 says, O love Jehovah, all ye his saints, For he preserveth the faithful and plentifully reward the proud doer. Psalms 34:9, and then I'm going to stop. It says, O fear Jehovah, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. And so when you hear that, you have a church will go to that and say, well, see, that's talking about the church. No, that's talking about Israel. You go to Psalms 1 and you just read all through that. You read the writings of David and all that. All through Psalms, all of them is written to the nation of Israel. So you have to use that as the foundation whereby which you deal with all the scriptures, or there's not going to be an understanding. So when you get over in Revelation 20:4, and things like that, it's dealing with 20:4 says in the 20:4. If it's 24, let me just type in the word saint. I think it's going to be Revelation 11 or 13, I believe. And I just want to show you this, y'all, because here our nation is, yeah, Revelation 13 and 17. And I'm going to read that number through. Revelation 13 and 17 says, I'll go up to verse 6. Because I want you to see what's really going on here. I'm not going to go back up because this is dealing with the false prophet and the beast. 13:7 said, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindred and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So it's important for us to understand that this system is never going to fully control the world. So don't get it twisted. The Illuminati is always going to have issues controlling the world. The beast that's going to rise, everything that's associated with it, it'll never totally control the world because you're going to have other nations warring against this system, this beast. But the beast, according to scripture, is going to hate the saint. And you're seeing this stuff come to head now. That's why we're being killed on the streets. That's why all these things are happening, because this beast is showing his head. But we think the beast is the police. The beast is not the police. The police is just a facet by which the beast is using. This beast where Satan sits on the top of hates Israel. And you have to understand that. That's why we're being laid out in the streets and all these things are happening. So when you look at the saints, you hear Israel. Don't hear the church. You hear Israel. It's Israel who's dying all over the world. But what they're doing, they're saying Christians, because they don't want you to understand that it's us. Now hear it. So y'all help me. I'm trying to let you go. What was the last? You remember when they came into this college over in Africa somewhere and they killed all them that they said were Christians? Those Muslims came in and killed them all. Those were Israelites they killed. But what you got to understand, in order to keep us dumbed down, they are saying they killing Christians. They killing Israelites. But to keep us from understanding what's really going on, they're not going to turn around and say they're killing Israelites all over the world. They're going to say they're killing Christians, because they're identifying those people as Christians, and all those people are is our nation that's following the one true Yah, and they're trying to live according to this law, statutes, and judgment, and because of that, they're being killed. But the media is calling them Christians to dumb us down. So when you hear saints, when you hear saints in Revelation, you don't hear the, you don't say the church per se. You have to understand that the church is in Israel. So there are other scriptures that reference the church, but it's important for us to understand that you got to understand, you have to break the mold or the tradition of when you hear saints or you hear the term Christians are being killed, that you go look and see who those Christians are. You have a handful of those other Gentile nations who are getting killed, that's going over there trying to pass out Bibles and different things like that. You have some of them that are getting killed, but you got thousands and thousands of Israelites getting killed. It's just they're labeling them as Christians. And the catchphrase, the deceiver.
But is this not already transpired?
What do you mean?
Isn't it was given at the end of the day, the world was changed and overcome them?
See?
I mean, because we overcome them, I mean, it ain't like we...
When you look at some things that's going on, son, a lot of people don't realize a lot of things are being fulfilled in Revelation. Now. There are some things that's happened now. It's just that our issue is we've been so Americanized that we think it's not happening because it's not happening here. We don't think saints are being beheaded and stuff like that because it's not happening here. So in order for propaganda to work, everybody that's beheaded, they'll say, oh, they were Christians. You have some who may call himself Christian, but the majority are Israelites. Israelites have been purged. We're in Revelation now, y'all, to a certain perspective. It just hadn't come to its full head yet, where some things can be clearly identified, but it's going on now.
So has it though? I'm just asking a question. I ain't saying it is, but because we were looking for it in a different people, did we miss, you know what I mean?
You're right. I mean, you're here. Keep on, go ahead.
So I was just saying, I mean, some of this stuff has it already happened or we already in the middle of it, but because, you know, for all this time, we've been looking for it elsewhere, not realizing that it's talking about us, could it be that some of this stuff already going down, we just was ignorant because we didn't know who we were to even identify these things going on?
That's what I'm saying. That's very true because... And that's what I'm saying. This whole thing is upside down, y'all. It's upside down. And so we're confused because we've looked at all these years as a people who are in the land supposed to be the people, and they're not. And so all these things are going on, and we're sitting here saying, well, these things are not happening yet because they're not happening to them people over there yet. Yeah, but it's happening to the real people, though. We just, like Alan said, because we've been dumbed down, we've lost our heritage, we don't really know how far along this thing really is.
Oh, we've been looking for it to happen to Christians, not just even Israel and the land, but Christians. But even that's a misconception if you don't understand the reality.
Exactly. And so you got churches who are saying they're going to persecute us. But the Bible is saying... Israel is being, the saints are being persecuted already. And that's why I tell people, so when you get this little catchphrase that talk about the tribulation period, according to the Bible, we've been in tribulation ever since we fled Jerusalem. No, go ahead.
The thing about it is, very one claiming to be Christians, looking for the persecution, is doing the persecution of the saints, and may or may not even realize, you know, claiming to be Christians, looking for something to come in to take over the Christians, yet they destroying the saints when they deal with and do the stuff that they do to us. And I find that interesting.
I mean, and that's what I'm saying in a nutshell. See, who's the saint? I'm not saying this to be the case, but I'm just bringing up a question because there are timelines that let us know when things are close. Who to say what this peace treaty is? See, the Bible says that the beast would make peace with many. But preachers say that the beast is going to make peace, the Antichrist, say he's going to make peace with Israel. No, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible said that he would make peace with many. Many. Who's to say what this peace is? See, you got all eyes on Israel saying, when he make peace with Israel, then the 7 years is counting down. Who to say this peace hadn't always already been made with me? Just like what Alan said, who is to say these things are not happening and we're not already in certain facets of the tribulation? We just don't know it yet. Because we've been so dumbed down from the perspective of Christianity that we don't know the time frame that we're actually living in. And so we're sitting here waiting on the rapture to take place where Christ come back and get the church and take them to heaven. And we don't realize that we may very well be in the tribulation right now.
True.
Was somebody trying to say something? And that's all I'm saying in a nutshell. So all these things, like I said, everything we've come to understand, we got to take a step back and allow Yah to deal with us to bring us about an understanding. So I'm gonna say this one last thing, and then I'm gonna let you go for real this time. Now Genesis 15 says that 400 years the nation of Israel or Abraham's seed would be persecuted. And then it says after that 400 years that Yah was going to judge those nations, and he was going to bring out, he was going to judge those nations who persecuted Israel, and he was going to bring Israel out by a mighty hand. Well, you get people that will say that's when we were led out of Egypt. But we've proven based upon just following precept upon precept that we were only in Egypt for 215 years. And so when you look at that 400 years, it's a different timeline than what people have commonly tried to, they tried to put the 400 years into the 430 when our nation came out of Israel. The scripture said the total sojourn was 430 years. So they said, well, that's part of the 400. But when you look at it from the perspective of what Alan said, give or take, we could be a little bit farther along, a little bit farther off. But the first Israelite slave hit the Americas in 1619. Now, Yah is specific. Y'all know I've said this time and time again. Yah is going to deliver Israel in exactly 400 years. Not 401, not 400 and a half. He's going to do exactly what he says in his word. Since we are Israel, and the first slave hit here in 1619, 2019 will be 400 years, give or take, because we don't know because things are kind of off.
Assuming that history is
exact. Right, that's what I'm saying. So
whatever they have, we know it'll be 400 years, but
right.
That date is right or not.
Right, so I said that to say this. If that is a time frame, if that's the right time frame whereby Yah is judging that 400 years, then that's the next, within the next, what, we already almost out of 2015, so next 3.5, we could very well be in that first 3.5 of the last three. We could very well right now be in the first 3.5 of the seven, according to Daniel. Number 7 years, once the timeline started, is 7 years before Christ returns based upon the timeline of Daniel, the last week, okay? The last week, because it's 70 weeks according to Daniel chapter 9. And it has one week, which is 7 years. And so if everything is lining up according to that, if we are right from, or if things are right from the perspective of judging that first slave to come to America, it's only 4 years left, or 3.5 left. We very well may be in the first 3.5 years of that 7 year. Not saying that's the case, but I'm saying if everything lines up the way that the scripture says it, and if these years truly line up, and we know we the people, and we know we still over here in captivity. We know the Bible says we're going to be gathered. So like Alan had mentioned a little bit earlier, we very well may be in the first half of it now.
That's the point that I'm saying.
That there's some, you know, there are some things that give all impressions of that, but then at the same time, it's cloudy. It's a lot of cloudy stuff up in there, and so we just have to see, because we do know that once Christ returns, according to Isaiah 11, there are Israelites who are going to be crossing back over into the land. And so we just going to have to see. So there are some things that do point out that we are going to, a remnant of us are going to be able to go back. It's just a lot of things that's not quite clear that takes some looking into. So we just have to see. And take all that I say with a grain of salt. But like I said, we don't know the years yet. We don't know the exact timeline. All right? Let me go ahead and stop and let y'all go. I've been holding y'all enough. Father Yah, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for discussing some things and coming into an understanding of the scripture. We looked at some point of views that we're not 100% for sure on. That's why you said in your word that no man know the day or the hour, but we do know the season. And right now we're in the season, Yah, whereby we should be constantly looking up because our redemption draw nigh. And we bless you in the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All righty.